background, you're listening to Billy Crane, A Girl Like You. Outlaws are coming to the Palace Theater November 22nd. So I said we're going to give away some tickets to Ace Frehley. Let's do it right now. What do you get when you put together Robin Zander, Ace Frehley, and get them in the studio? You get 30 days in a hole, baby. Fifth caller here at WRCT gets a pair of tickets to see Wicked and Ace Frehley at Jurgles next Friday night, 412-268-9728. 412-268-WRCT. WRCT 88.3 FM. new from the Doobie Brothers. Just got my hands on the vinyl. And this is going out to a bunch of guys getting mellow in Mount Lebanon. Talking about the Bourbon Brothers of Lodge 315. New Doobie Brothers right here on WRCT. This time, want a pair of tickets to see the new Roger Waters movie documentary? This Is Not a Drill. Got a couple showings later this month in July at the local movie theaters. Well, I got a pair of tickets for you. If you're the fifth caller, 412-268-9728, 412-268-WRCT. Roger Waters album. And we just gave away a pair of tickets for the new Roger Waters documentary. We're going to give away another pair of tickets next week. And we're going to give away another pair of tickets to Ace Frehley next week. So make sure you tune in. And I was just on the phone with a caller. If all the stars are aligned next week, we're going to have the return to Courts in Session of one of the greatest guitarists of all time. From the Dixie Dregs, Kansas, Deep Purple, in Deep Purple longer than Ritchie Blackmore, talking about the one and only Steve Morse. So I hate to get ahead of myself. Anything can happen, but right now it's looking like we're going to have him, and it's going to be absolutely terrific. Mark your calendars, Steve Morse, next week. So got a great request from Jeff in Stanton Heights, and I pulled the record because that's how we play music here. At least that's how EJL does. And Jeff, there was no way I was playing that track on the radio and the condition was in. So got a little substitute. We're talking Going Deep, early Rolling Stones. From the Between the Buttons album. This is Something Happened to Me Yesterday, right here at WRCT 88.3 FM.
forgetting the boys in the band and our producer, Reg Thorpe, would like to say, God bless. So if you're out tonight, don't forget, if you're on your bike,
finest. Talking to April Wine from one of their final comeback albums from the mid-90s. Recovering, re-recording their great hit, Tonight is a Wonderful Time to Fall in Love. Well, I'm your rocking attorney, and I'm not going to disagree with that, but I'm going to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, courts in session is now Courts adjourned. Big shout out to Dennis Dunaway of the Alice Cooper Group. So much fun having him on the radio tonight. Can't wait to get my hands on that new album. You know we'll be spinning it here at 88.3. Next week, keep your fingers crossed, Steve Morse joining us talking about his new single that's going to surprise a lot of people, and it's terrific. I'm your rockin' attorney, Eric Jackson Lurie. Let's get back together next Thursday night at 8. You can hear a replay of tonight's show Sunday night at 10. If you missed any part of the Dennis Dunaway interview or you have a friend who missed it, Sunday night at 10 right here on 88.3 FM. So I want to remind you to take care of each other, be kind to each other, and be proud to be American. Good night, Pittsburgh.
Forbes Avenue is a production of WRCT Pittsburgh. The opinions expressed are those of the participants and not necessarily those of WRCT, its members, or Carnegie Mellon University. Email questions or comments to pa@wrct.org.
Hi, I'm Richard Gordon,
and welcome to Forbes Avenue on WRCT Pittsburgh. Our guest today is Jaime Martinez, the community defense organizer at Casa San Jose. First question, Jaime, is, what is Casa San Jose?
Thank you so much for having me. It's a pleasure to be here and to be speaking to folks on the radio. Casa San Jose is a resource center for the Latino community here in southwestern Pennsylvania. We were actually founded in 2013 by a sister of St. Joseph, Sister Janice Vanderneck. It began with her seeing that a community was under-resourced and there was no real space in the community to be addressing those needs. So she said, yes, I want to do something, and started finding solutions. Put her ear to the ground with two other people in the basement of a Lutheran church and figuring out what folks need and delivering solutions. Since then, 12 years later, we have expanded to over 35 employees. We have social workers. We have an organizing and advocacy program. And we have really established ourselves as the go-to source of support for underserved Latinos in the community.
You now serve, I think, around 6,000 people a year?
Yeah, that's right.
And what kinds of things do you do for them?
So that's anything from, I need help with groceries, I don't know how I'm going to make rent, to I need to get my child a passport. All of those kinds of services we are really good with. We have also been good with connecting folks to legal services, helping them to develop sustainable solutions to any financial issues they may have and working through that with them. And beyond that, in the time that we find ourselves in now, we are working on community defense, which is kind of where I come in, right? We've seen the news. We've seen how the Latino community and the immigrant community at large is being scapegoated, is being demoralized, and we are at the forefront of making sure that folks' rights are protected, that we are engaging and organizing the community in a way that celebrates and includes our immigrant community and trying to build power.
So I know Casa San Jose runs Know Your Rights sessions for immigrants to the United States.
So Know Your Rights sessions are what happens if you have an interaction with law enforcement? What happens if immigration enforcement shows up at your house, at your workplace, or stops you in your car, or stops you in public? What can you expect? What do they look like? How can you respond? These are the kinds of sessions that we've been having all across Southwest PA over the past 4 months, basically. We've had over 50 sessions since the beginning of the year, and we've served more than 800 people
So if ICE comes knocking on somebody's door, what should they do?
A few things on that. At large, I think a common refrain that I use that folks should internalize is that ICE preys on the ignorant and the isolated. Folks that are walking alone, that are walking to work alone, that live alone or that drive alone, that don't have support networks in the community, that are isolated from their community. That's a prime target for ICE because they know that if they grab that person, if they abduct that person, because that's what's happening, no one will know that they're gone. And that's better for them because it'll grind down the person's humanity and make them more likely to sign deportation papers once they're in detention. ICE will prey on ignorant folks, folks that don't know their rights. They will show up in packs. They will always outnumber the people that they are looking for. We've seen an average of like 4 to 7 agents showing up to an interaction looking for one person, and that's for one person. We have seen as many as 17 agents showing up to a single family home, all of them armed, one of them with an AR-15. So they will look to be aggressive, provoke, intimidate, manipulate, and they will try to get into your house. So what's really important, going back to your question, is you should never open the door. You should ask them through the door to identify themselves. That's full name, badge number, what agency they're with, why they're there. And then if they want to get in, if they want to talk to you, they need a judicial warrant. Tell them, I need to see a signed warrant by a judge. If they don't have that, you should not open that door and implicitly give them access into your home. If they do make it into your home, if you do open the door for some reason, very important that you speak the words, I do not consent to this. I do not consent to this search. I do not consent to you being in my home right now. That's a key legal phrase that kind of harkens back to the Fourth Amendment, the right to refuse unreasonable searches or seizures.
Right.
Exactly. That's right. So you got to tell folks, I do not consent. And that Fourth Amendment protection is strongest in the home. And you should not let them in without a warrant signed by a judge.
Sounds like people from other countries legally do have rights in the United States.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I just had a great conversation with a lawyer from the ACLU about this yesterday out in Philadelphia. When it comes to things like the First Amendment, we were talking more about the context of people protesting and their rights with the First Amendment. It's not completely settled as to whether non-citizens have like the full breadth of First Amendment rights. Many courts have established that that is the case, that if you are here in the U.S., if you are on American soil, you have access to those constitutional rights, and those are very broad. But President Trump has appointed many judges that may have different opinions, and these cases haven't been tested too much. So we might see a new flurry of cases coming to a different set of judges in this era that might give us different responses. But broadly speaking, we should act as if, yes, we do have those protections and hope for the best.
Sounds like what you're saying is prior to 2025, case law had established the precedent that foreign nationals in this country legally were also protected by the United States Constitution, but now...
Right. So yes, that's right. Like it's, how would I put it? Everybody who is on American soil, documented or undocumented, regardless of legal status, has access to these rights. Now, what we're seeing on the news, on tape, here in Pittsburgh, is that what is our rights on paper, what are our rights on paper, and what is actually being respected in a situation are two very different things. We can have a whole conversation about what the law says and what we should do, and then there's what is actually happening and what you should do in response to what is actually happening. So that's another kind of situation as well.
What should an immigrant do if confronted by people in ICE vests on the street as they're getting out of their car and walking into their apartment?
What we've been seeing is the likeliest scenarios, at least here in southwestern Pennsylvania, is ICE showing up in the parking lots of businesses, being out in public. And so somebody will be driving into work, and then when they park their car, like it'll be like a restaurant, when they park their car, suddenly 4 unmarked police vehicles come out of nowhere and block the car from leaving. And then 6 officers come out and swarm the car. Just a few weeks ago, a 22-year-old guy gets grabbed out of the car, thrown on the ground, We believe he might have been tased and then is put in handcuffs before he is asked to produce identification, all with his partner in the passenger seat. So that's the kind of thing that we're seeing. They're in public. They are waiting outside of places that they think people that they're looking for will be at. And so they're not going into the restaurants and asking for folks. They're waiting outside and waiting for folks to leave work alone, folks to show up in the early morning, or they'll be waiting outside people's homes as they leave to go to school, to work, etc. If you're confronted by them, number one, it's always important to have a buddy with you. If you feel unsafe, if you feel that you are prone to being targeted, having a buddy with you is important. Additionally, you're going to want to, again, ask them for full name, badge number, what agency they're from. Do they have a warrant?
It's more like, may I see your warrant?
Yes, correct. Well, sometimes they don't have a warrant, right? And they'll say they do, but then they never show a paper. So trying to take a picture of the warrant, trying to get somebody to see that something is happening to you, stating your name to someone, all of that stuff. We want somebody else to know that you are being abducted by ICE. Because what we've seen a lot is somebody gets picked up in the dead of night. No one knows for 3 days where the person is. And then somebody at work will start asking questions like, hey, they're not showing up to work anymore. I wonder what happened. And then it becomes a passing thought. And then suddenly folks are forgotten about. We don't want that. No person in our city should be forgotten about. We want to hold each other accountable as good neighbors. So we want to make sure that if someone's detained, we know that they've been detained.
You used a loaded word there, abducted. But that is, I guess, what you're saying is happening if there's not a warrant being shown.
Yeah, so I want to maybe provide a little bit of color to our listeners. ICE does not show up like a police officer with a friendly knock at the door and say, hey, like, we're here to detain you because you did this and that. That is not what's going on. What we're seeing instead are folks in hoods and masks. They are masked, like with ski masks. Black ski masks, wearing all black or wearing like camo, showing up to houses while it's still dark outside, before dawn, furiously knocking on doors, trying to batter down doors, and asking for somebody to come out. They will not say who they are a lot of the time. They will not identify themselves. We have specifically heard that some ICE agents will say, I don't want to identify myself because I don't want to get doxxed. That's the kind of scenario that we're seeing. They're not identifying themselves. They are not saying that they are immigration enforcement. They will call themselves the police when they are not the police. They'll say they're investigating a criminal matter. Sometimes they're recently here in Allegheny County, we've seen that they are posing as CYF, child, youth, and family workers, saying that they want to do a welfare check on an unaccompanied minor and then ask the sponsor for their documents and then arrest the sponsor. That's the sort of thing that we've been seeing. And then they will grab somebody. I mean, we've all seen the videos. They pick somebody off the street. They pick somebody from their front door. They will become aggressive. When they ask for why are you arresting this person? Why is this going on? We're arresting them for immigration. I'm sorry, what the heck does that mean to be arresting somebody for immigration? That makes no sense. They take them to the ICE processing office at 3000 Sydney Street on the south side. And then they will book them as if they were in a carceral system, take their picture, take their fingerprints, interview them as to who they are and identify them. And then because we have a team of attorneys that will go down and try to make contact with these folks, we will get stonewalled by ICE agents. An attorney will go down and say, I need to speak to my client. They'll say, oh, we haven't identified if they're here or not yet. And they know damn well that they're there. But they say, oh, we can't tell if they're here or not. Come back later. It's going to take hours to identify them. A few minutes later, we'll get a call from the person who's in that office detained to their family saying, hey, I'm here. Like, I'm okay. That family will call us and say, hey, like, I can confirm that they're there. By the time we're back there, oh, I'm sorry. We already transferred them out of this office. They're in a detention facility now. They go to a detention facility in rural Pennsylvania, Moshannon Shannon Valley Processing Center. It's a private for-profit prison is what it is. It used to be a private for-profit federal prison, and then they reskinned it as an ICE detention facility when President Biden signed an executive order banning the renewal of these contracts. ICE pays the GEO group, which runs this place, $3 million per month, base pay. Then on top of that, a per head daily rate. You have folks being detained for having or not having a piece of paper, being forced upon them self-deportation papers, keeping them in detention cells, not letting them be with their friends and family. They are not a danger to society. They do not have criminal records. They've been here for sometimes decades. They are members of the community, workers, taxpayers, mothers and fathers, families. And, you know, rich people profit and rich people get richer. And the American promise is desecrated.
We are talking with Jaime Martinez, the community defense organizer at Casa San Jose. Is this a new situation? That has it really been escalated in the last year where people are targeted? And are they targeting specific groups? Is it just Latinos?
I think it's important to realize that this did not start on January 20th, 2025. This was happening during the presidency of Barack Obama. This is a bipartisan issue in the worst way possible, and no one seems to want to do anything about it. We've had many, many situations where the American public and the American political system has had the opportunity to fix what is very obviously a flawed immigration system that has only become extremely flawed as of recent. When the Italians were coming in, when the Irish were coming in, you know, it was open, Ellis Island. They right. were greeted by the Statue of Liberty, right. and there was no visa system. There was no backlog of 5 years and H-1B visas. You were on a boat, and you got in, and you were healthy enough, and they would maybe change your name to make it a bit more American, and you'd just be here, and you'd be an immigrant, right, because of your life story, but you would be here, and you'd have the chance to start a new life. That doesn't happen anymore. And the last time we had this sort of mass migration was 100 years ago. We know very well that as times change, so do our systems. And our system is not caught up for the way that the world works and the way that the transit of people work, how people move and migrate across the world. And folks have always known, we have created, as Americans, the American myth of becoming a melting pot of diversity being our biggest strength, of immigrants being welcomed from everywhere. But the reality is that right now, that's not been the case. That's not been the case for a decade. And what we're seeing now is just the scab being ripped off. The Trump administration, Trump 2.0, is moving a bit quicker than the past presidencies have, but it's mostly a continuation and just an expansion. We've had many opportunities to do something. We haven't. We have been slipping further and further and further into authoritarianism, and we have permitted our country to get to this point. Let's remember that President Trump won this election, and his campaign was very explicitly mass deportations now. I think back very vividly to the picture of thousands of people holding mass deportations now signs. That platform won, whether we like it or not. So something within ourselves as a voting population as well, and as Americans in this country, is deeply flawed in our ability to find compassion and humanity within the immigrant community and within just people that don't look like us or think like us or speak like us. So I think it speaks to a broader compulsion that we need to kind of root out of ourselves in this moment, and we need to stand up and do something.
Of all the things that Mr. Trump promised during his reelection campaign, the immigration issue is the only thing where he's still polling positively, which speaks to, in my opinion, a problem with, you know, American society.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I think it's a lack of education. I think we're all so deep in our algorithms on social media, we're in our echo chambers online, the news that we're reading and listening to, it's all very tailored to what we already believe. And then I also think with the decline of religiosity and the decline of third spaces where we meet people that have different political opinions but also share common ground in other respects, the lack of those spaces and the decline of these spaces has created a world where polarization is the inevitable conclusion. And that has created a lot of blind spots within ourselves, within the people that live across from us, that live in a completely different universe, and that think that they are only picking up the rapists and drug traffickers and criminals or whatever and justify it like that. So I think there's a twofold issue here. One, we need to educate ourselves properly. The best way to do that is through relationship, right? It means getting involved. It means doing something. At CASA, we have many, many ways for folks to get involved. When you are able to witness firsthand the injustices that are taking place in our city, in our community, in our country, that is a radicalizing force. And I use that word radicalization very sparingly, but I think it's important to say it because it changes the way, it's transformative. It changes the way that you think about the issue and it urges you to act. The second half of this is we need to come together as a community and we need to learn from each other and we need to learn primarily from the folks we disagree with. I know it is so hard for folks to talk to folks across the aisle. It is so hard for us to withstand the uncle at Thanksgiving that just kind of spews whatever he sees on Newsmax, right? But if we don't reach these people at our kitchen tables, at dinner, at church, in walking out of our classrooms, in the late night dorm room conversations, we are never going to be able to change the way that our society is functioning. The antidote to all of this distortion of reality is human relationship. Humanity is our greatest strength. It is what makes us unique and beautiful. We have to play to our strengths. We have to see people as they are and lift us up together.
I'm thinking about my time teaching English as a second language to people from, you know, ranging from refugees from Iran to students from Malaysia, from different parts of Africa, different parts of Europe. And it was so invigorating to learn more about the world by talking to people who come from a different place than I do.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think the beauty of Pittsburgh and our city as well is that there is no real boundary to the kinds of folks that you're going to meet in your neighborhood. If you knock the doors on your surrounding three blocks over the course of a weekend, for example, just to introduce yourself, imagine the kinds of people that you would meet, the stories that people have. If you invited folks over for dinner one day, you might disagree on some things, but you will agree on so much more because we have so much more in common than what separates us. But we don't do that anymore. We are sticking our heads in the sand because of technology and big tech and you know, it's not sticking our head in the sand, it's sticking our head into our screen, right? We need to return to our humanity, as you said. Talk to folks that are different than us. Find joy in what may seemingly separate us, but is what makes us unique. We have to celebrate these things. And we also have to stand up for those that are being actively marginalized right now, right? There's a lot to learn in the marginalized and the oppressed. So we have a responsibility, not just as Americans, not just as Yinzers, not just as CMU affiliates, but as human beings, to dig deep into that work.
It's always easier for people to point the finger at those who are different and view them as a threat. I don't know if you were even alive then. When the Tea Party got started?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that was one of their tricks, was to point at other people and say it's all their fault, while they kept funneling more money into more and more corporate pockets. I wonder how much of this crisis that immigrants are facing now in this country relates to that, that people have branded them as the problem, and so more people are tolerating what is going on with the immigration control.
Yeah, I would agree with that. People are also very busy, to add on to what you're saying. We do not live human-paced life, because how many times does your phone ring in the course of an hour or buzz? Me, probably like 50 times an hour. I'll get a little ding, buzz, I'll get a phone call, text message, news notification. There's things constantly happening, and so we become so distracted by what's happening around us and what's happening on our phones and what's happening in life that we forget to deal with looking up and looking around us and looking at our neighbors and investing in the work of our neighborhood. I think everything has to be extremely local. We freak out, our heads are constantly on fire because of what we see on the news. I mean, Washington, D.C. is like new headline every day, and it just gets worse and worse and worse.
Every hour.
Right. Exactly. And that is a distraction from the broader issues that are right here in your neighborhood that you can directly impact. You cannot make any sort of impact on a conversation that the president of the United States has with the president of El Salvador right now. You can't. Unreachable. How are you going to get into the Oval Office? But you know what you can do? Respond to a call that ICE is in your neighborhood and record them and ask them why they're there and ask them to leave. That is something that you can do that will actually save families from being separated, that will prove to your neighbors that you care about them, that does the work of protecting the immigrant community, but that also does the deeper work, drawing from that well of human relationship. It's the work of community building, right? Showing folks around you that you care about them, investing in them, and that will ultimately solve a lot of the broader issues that we see in society. But it starts block by block.
We are talking with Jaime Martinez from Casa San Jose, where he holds the title of Community Defense Organizer. I am just curious what your reaction is to what's going on in the case of Kilmar Abrego Garcia, who was deported from Maryland, even though he's here legally.
Well, it's terrifying, right? I was recently speaking at a teach-in, and something that they said was that human rights don't trickle down, they rise up. Great, great phrase. Human rights don't trickle down, they rise up. What that means is if one person in a room does not have the same rights that you do, in essence, it's not really a right. And if it can happen to somebody, it can absolutely happen to you. So let's think about the lack of due process. Let's think about the family that is being affected. I mean, that prison in El Salvador,
it's brutal.
It's brutal, absolutely. And they gloat about how they are never going to get these folks out and about how they torture them. Like, we're in really, really, really bad territory. And now for the president to be talking about how we should be exporting American citizens to that prison as well. I mean, it's just a complete lack of care for the folks that are in this country and also for the humanity that is within each of us and the way we should be treating one another as human beings. So it's terrifying, but this is a red line. This is one of these moments, right, where the American public can say, I'm okay with this or I'm not okay with this. We have failed on this so many times. We have failed to say, I'm not okay with this and actually done something. This is another one of these moments. Are we going to do something? Or are we just going to say, wow, this makes me so mad, and then move on to the next story? That's the choice that each of us has.
Casa San Jose, are there other agencies like yours in the greater Pittsburgh area that can help foreign nationals and immigrants out when they run into situations with ICE?
We primarily serve the Latino community, but given just the nature of the situation, what's been going on, we've created a really robust rapid response network within Allegheny County and 20 minutes beyond county lines as of now. That might grow because we've been getting a great response. One thing I would encourage folks to do, broadly speaking, is we have a 24/7 ICE hotline. This is if you hear that anything's happening on campus, if you hear that anything's happening around the city, this is rumor, eyewitness, you saw something on social media, you heard something, you are being affected yourself, they're outside your door, anything like that, call us. That number is 412-736-7167. Again, 412-736-7167. That number works 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and we dispatch trained rapid response team members to go out to a situation. We can get there within 20 minutes as of now. We're working to bring that down as more and more folks get onboarded. And we view what's happening, we record, we ask for details, we make sure that we have names and information of people that have been detained, and we have attorneys ready to activate and go down to the ICE office. It's very robust. So when it comes to immediately what happens to you if you get stopped by ICE, Casa San Jose kind of has the niche of being the rapid response that goes out. Now, beyond that, if you have questions about immigration law, or like you need legal services or immigration services, any of that sort of stuff, JFCS, which is Jewish Family and Community Services, great resource right here in Squirrel Hill, I believe. And they are great partners and dear friends to CASA. Somebody else I can think of off the top of my head, the Islamic Center of Pittsburgh has been very active when it comes to especially like the Muslim community. And we've seen what's been going on with the Muslim community and like the intersection with the pro-Palestine protesters that have been abducted, all of that sort of stuff. Oh, you can also research what's known as PIFUP. PIFUP is more on the legal end, but it's an initiative to provide like a public defender, in essence, to a person in deportation defense and removal proceedings. Currently, anyone who is in immigration court gets to have an attorney, but at their personal cost. So it's not like most of the time folks don't have an attorney because they can't afford one. PIFUP is the initiative to expand representation to everybody in immigration court, to create like a public defender's office for immigrants when they face these removal proceedings in immigration court. So you can kind of ask them. They have funding and resources to be able to solicit representation and counsel for you if you are in a situation. PERC is the Pennsylvania Immigrant and Refugee Coalition, I believe. They're also a great resource. All in all, there's a lot of different folks doing the work around here. Hello Neighbor is a refugee service here in Pittsburgh as well. Lots of great folks at the table doing a lot of good work and committed to the good fight.
I like that name, Hello Neighbor, mm-hmm. because to my worldview, that's what this is all about.
Yeah.
You're my neighbor. Everyone's my neighbor.
That's exactly right.
I don't care if they're wearing a hijab or speaking Spanish.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And let's think about this. Like, especially in this neighborhood is where Fred Rogers taught us all to be good neighbors, right? He recorded just down the street and he taught us how to be good neighbors. He talked about what it means to be kind to one another, how to show up for one another. That's his legacy that he left in this city. That's the legacy that we all need to pick up right now in a moment so crucial as this one.
Jaime Martinez from Casa San Jose. Thank you so much for coming in.
Thank you so much. Appreciate it.
Forbes Avenue is a production of WRCT Pittsburgh. The opinions expressed are those of the participants and not necessarily those of WRCT, its members, or Carnegie Mellon University. Email questions or comments to pa@wrct.org.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to WRCT Pittsburgh 88.3 FM, and this is the City Pop Central Show presented by yours truly, DJ Lee. If you like funky groove and city pop,